Okay, good morning. Today is Daf Beitza, Daf Lam Zayin. Today's Daf is sponsored by Sherry and Beryl Daskal, Lazecha Nishmas David Tzvi Ben Dov Mordechai, Shama Shahav and Aliyah. We are on Lam Zayin, I believe, first two dots, of Lo Cholzin Velo Miyatin. So the Mishnah had mentioned a list of items that were not supposed to be done on Yontif, put them in categories. They put categories of Rishus, of Chova, of Mitzvah, sorry, Rishus, and Ashvos, Mishum Rishus, and Mishum Mitzvah. So in the category of Mishum Rishus, it said, Velo Cholzin Velo Miyabim. We don't do Chalitza, and we don't do Yibim. Maras, like I said yesterday, Maras, Ba Mitzvah Avid. When you do Yibim's a Mitzvah, Chalitza's a Mitzvah. What do you mean? Why are you categorizing it as a Rishus? There's a little Sricha to Ika Gadol, that you need a Gadol, there's somebody else. Meaning there's somebody else who should be performing the Yibim or Chalitza, and you're doing it in their stead. But the Gemara then says, mitzvah begadol yabim, and the mitzvah is for the gadol to do it. You're not the gadol. So that's why the Mishnah listed as a rishus. I guess if you're actually the gadol, then they would have listed it as a mitzvah. I don't know how that answers so much the question. It just pushes it off to the next person. Okay, so the Gemara says, the chul tamimai, all these things listed in the Mishnah, that we don't adjudicate, we're not Mekadesh, we don't do Chalitza, we don't do Yibum. What's the reason why we're not supposed to do the Manyantif? So Gemara says, the Chachamim made it usher because Gezeira Shem Yichtel. These are all transactional. And when you do transactions, you write contracts, you write receipts, you do something, we're concerned that maybe you will come to write. You write the Psak Din, the Kedushin Kedushin is one of the three ways to actually do Kedushin is Shtar. So it's actually, the one way you accomplish it is doing a Ksiva writing. Chalitza also, you write a Shtar. And I guess by Yibim also, maybe you write a Shtar Ksuba, you write some sort of document to indicate the obligations from one party to the next. Then the Mishnah said that Elu Mishum Mitzvah, these things are forbidden because of a mitzvah. Lo Matishin, we don't make things hektish. Below Marichin, below Machrimin, we don't do Erichin. Erichin is a list at the end of Parshas, and then same with Midbar. By Yikra, about how much each person and what age bracket they are worth, if you macharim their value, and machrimim, we don't make things chayrim. And where it says, why is that? Why don't we do that? Zeira mishum mekachu memkar. All these things look like business transactions, because you're taking something out of your rishus, and you're putting it into the rishus of hekdesh, and mekachu memkar, transaction like that, I guess, is usher on, or not for, is usher on yantif. That's not really so true. Rashi says, "Mishum mekach omemkar, the lemekach omemkar dami shamotz rishusa lerishus hakdesh, umekach omemkar aser min hamikra. It's aser min hamik from the pasuk. Tiksev mimtzo chafzicha v'davar davar. Inami mekach omemkar aser tiksevus chari mechira. Or you can say the mekach omemkar is going to bring you to writing, but then that's a double. Rabbi Tomar, Havli Gzeri Gzeri, say Kulachat Gzeri. It's all included in the same thing. Mekach HaMemkar and writing the Shtaros are all the same Gzeri. So similar, it's a similar Gzeri that you have for, the mitzvot, the Makdishin, as you had for the other things, for Chalitza and Yibum. Okay, the Gemara then said, Velo Magbin Trumos U'Maisros. We do not take off Trumos and Maisros on Yontif. The Gemara says, Pshita, that is Pashat, that did is Pashat. Why is that? You mentioned the Mishnah. Hafrasha, right, when you take something off, you're metaking the Tevel to be Mutter, and that looks like Tikkun Kli. And we've said it all along, that's not permitted to do it, to do on Yontif. So the Gemara says, Tani Rav Yosef says, Lo Nitzacha, what's this din for? Ella Litna Lekoin Bo Bayom. It's to take off the Truma, not to take it off so that you can eat it, but it's to take off the Truma Samaisos and allow you to give it to the Kohen Bo Bayom. Because what ends up happening is maybe the Kohen needs food, so you take this off to give the Truma to the Kohen. Rashi says, Tani Rav Yosef, I feel lit on the Kohen Bo Bayom, the Ikele Meimar, because one might have said, Lav Mucha Milsehi, the Tikkuni Tivle Mekabin. It's not Muchach, that what you're doing is you want to fix your Tevel for you. The Ein Yodua Sheyehu Tzarech Hashroim, V'roi Shemo Truma Kohen. They see that you're bringing the Truma to the Kohen, Umechsa the Kula Milsa Mishum Simchas Yontif, the Kohen should Tzarech Lahu. But people hachi aser. It may look like you're trying to provide simchas yotta for the kohen, who I guess who needs food. Nevertheless, it's still aser that you can't do it even just to give to the kohen. The Gemara then says, "Ahani mili, all this that we said that it's aser to be mafish trumas or maisof on yontif, that is Beperi de tibli me esmol. That is only if you have peros that had the same tevel chal on them yesterday, meaning an erev yontif. If they had tevel erev yontif, you could have been mafresh them yesterday. You had the opportunity to mafresh them yesterday. Aval peri de tibli ha idna, but peri or some produce that became the same tevel was chal on them only today, meaning you were not able to be masakin them before yontif. Kagon, for example, isa, he made a dough. You don't make the dough yesterday, you make the dough today. Right? You have all the produce, the ingredients, but you make the dough today. And now once you make the dough, it's now subject to challah. But you need to make the challah today. So therefore, kagon isa lafrushim in challah. If you make the dough today, you need it today, and you need to be mafrish the challah in order to eat it, then mafrishim yavim lekohen. You can be mafrish it today and give it to the kohen, because you could not have done it yesterday. Okay. The Gemara then says, well, the lashon of the Mishnah is weird. Right, or strange. Right, the Gemara says you have shus, you have reshus, and you have mitzvah. Well, so the Gemara asks, the honey mishum reshus mishum shus leka. These things that you said are usher because of reshus, they're not a shus, they're not an issur derabanan. There are the issur derabanan. The honey mishum mitzvah. Those things that you mentioned as a mitzvah, mishum mitzvah ikum mishum shus leka. They don't have a din of a shus. That also usher mitzvah. Shus means it's usher mitzvah derabanan to do. These things are also asr midin derabanan. So why are you calling them mitzvah? They're all asr midin derabanan. They're all shvus. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yitzchak, lo mi boi ka'amar. They're talking about, the Gemara is written in a certain format, which means not only this, but even this. Lo mi boi. Lo zu avzu. Lo mi boi ka'amar. The Gemara says, lo mi boi shvus greatest of the asr. Something that's only a shvus. That's of course asr, because you're not accomplishing anything, right? Climbing up a tree. There's no mitzvah involved. So I would say the Chacham said that's aser. Lo mi boi shvus greatest of aser. Ela filu shvus de reshus. But even something that's a reshus, there's a little bit of a mitzvah to it, like getting married or doing those things in the second category of the Mishnah. You would say, well, maybe there's a little bit of a mitzvah there. So the Chacham said that's not going to be aser. Even that is aser. The lo mi boi shvus de reshus aser. Not only that middle category is aser. Ela filu shvus de mitzvah. But even something that is an actual mitzvah. The Gemara said, the Chacham said, that's awesome. Also, you might have said, are you doing a mitzvah? So maybe the Chacham didn't make their takana in this instance. Kamash Malan, that's Nami Asr. That is Asr. Yes, they could have written the last one first, but the style of the Mishnah, in order to remember, Mishnahs are written Balpeh, in order to make them easier to memorize, you have to have sort of some sort of tricks. So Lo Zu Abzu Katani, which is Lo Mivoy Kamer. Not only this, but even this, that's the style of the Mishnah. Even something that has a mitzvah to it, the Chacham said, if it violates their takana, of making Mecca Komemcha on Yantif, Shabbos and Yantif, it would be Aser. The Mishnah then said, Kol Elu B'Yantif Amru, anything that is Yantif, Ein Ben Yantif L'Shabbos and L'Ochel Nefesh B'Vad. And they quoted the Mishnah of Megillah, the Ein Ben Mishnahs. The only difference between Shabbos and Yantif is Ochel Nefesh. The Gemara says, that's not true. Right there, right, the Gemara's bringing the Mishnah we just said yesterday, that but our Mishnah said that everything that was nigzar on Shabbos, they also made the same zayir on Yantif, and the only distinction is ochel nefesh, or immediately. Well, that's a question for the Mishnah that we just did the other day. Mashilin derech aruv b'yantif, you're allowed to throw the peros down through the skylight on Yantif, aval lo b'Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. So you have certain things that there's a zayir on Shabbos, and not a zayir on Yantif. And there the reason wasn't ochel nefesh there, it was a hefset issue was over there. So why are you saying the only distinction is ochel nefesh? So Amar Rabbi Yosef says, Lo Kasha, Ha Rab Eliezer, Ha Rab Yeshua. Our Mishnah that holds that any gzeira that the Chabad made about Shabbos, they also made about Yontif, even about Hesed Mammon, that's going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who was Machmir by Yontif, even by Hesed Mammon. So he would not allow you to throw the produce down the attic. But Ha Rab Yeshua, but the previous Mishnah, which says that you were mutter, it's permitted to throw the produce through the skylight because of the Hefsen Mammon, that goes according to Shita Rabbi Yeshua, who we will see is Mekel on Yontif B'Makom Hefsen Mammon. Titania, we have the following brisa. Osu Esbeno. So we all know, you're not allowed to shech the parent and the offspring on the same day, whether it's mother, child, or including father, it's Machlokas. Now the parent and the child can't be shechted of the animal on the same day. Right, the Shor Oseh, Oso be'ezbino lo sishchatu b'yom echad. So now I have Oso ezbino on Yontif, I guess. Shenaflu lebor. They fell into the cistern. So Now you can say, I want to lift him up. Well, what does he have a problem over here? You can't shecht them both today, because the shechting both today is an isser. You can shecht one, because of ochel nefesh, but you can't shecht both today. So if you bring up both of them, then you're going to be doing tiltul shalo letzorech on yantif. Also, it's a lot of work to be done on yantif. So there's a machlokas tanaim on how you go about saving these animals or bring these animals up. Rabbi Lezer Omer, so Rabbi Lezer, who we just said who's going to be more machmir on hefset and mamon, he says mal es arishon, amanafto shochato. You can lift the first animal, condition that you want to shecht it, the shochato, and then you have to shecht it on yantif and partake in its meat. Vahasheni, but the second one, oselo parnasavim komo. You have to bring him food down there. It's tiltul shalo tzoroch. You can't raise him up from the pit. You try to take care of him down in the pit, bring him his food, bring him blankets, whatever he needs to do, but try to keep him to survive. Kedei shalo yamos. But it's a hefset mamo, but he's not concerned about that. Rabbi Shua says, no, you can do both. Males harishon al menas b'shoto v'eino shochato. You bring up the first one and say, I want to shecht it. And you bring it up and you say, it's a little skinny. Right, it's a little too skinny. V'choze umarim, right? You go back and you make this sort of harama, this sort of halachic trick. You say, the first one I brought up, it's not good for me. I don't like it. So then umales hasheni. Let me bring up the second one and see if that one's good for yantif. Then you pull up the second one. And then ratzazeh shochet. If you want to do the first one, you do the first one. If you want to do the second one, you do the second one. But you see here, Rabbi Rishua is matir to do this harama. The Gemara is assuming, because of hefset mamon, I'll bring it up, I'll do this harama, and I'll be able to bring up both. That proves that Rabbi Yeshua is makil on hefset mamon. Rabbi Lezer is not makil on hefset mamon. They can make the distinction between the two Mishnayos. The one that says you can throw the produce through the attic would be Rabbi Yeshua, and the Mishnah we just read now that says that there's no distinction between Shabbos and Yontif is going to be according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Amar Le'Avaye, Abaye says, as it always does, Abaye says back to Rabbi Yosef, Mimai, why are you saying, where's the proof that this machloket, the same way that Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua have a machlokas about whether or not you can bring this behema up from the boar, that's the same machlokas they have about throwing the produce down the attic. Right? It has to do with hefset mamon. Dilma, maybe you'll say, ad kan lo kam Rabbi Lezer hasa, maybe Rabbi Lezer over there says over there that you may not bring up the second animal, el de efshar b'parnasa, when the animal could theoretically survive. I mean, you come in, you take an estimation, the animal has no broken limbs, it's okay, it'll survive, just provide him with his needs over yantif. Aval hacha, but in the case of the produce on the attic that's getting rained upon, and you want to save it, aval hacha, the little efshar b'parnasa, there's nothing you can do about it. I don't know why you can't cover it, but anal parnasa, the only way that you can save it is by throwing it down. Lo, maybe you'll say that it's not usher to throw them down. Who says that? Maybe when it's real hefset mamon, there's no other option, he would allow it. Inami, or you can say also, ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yeshua hasam, when Rabbi Yeshua over there says mutter, el de efshal arume, because you have this harama, you have this legal loophole that you'll figure out to allow you to bring it up. But by the case of, who says that by the case over here, of al hacha, de lo efshal arume, what harama are you going to do to save the produce? Maybe lo, maybe he wouldn't say that you could throw the produce down. Why are you lining up the two machlokos? I think you can make distinctions between two machlokos on either side to say that they don't have the same shita. So what's going on? So again, we're back to our question. We have the previous mission that says you're allowed to throw the produce down the skylight, which seems to say that you're allowed to. We are concerned about hefset mamon, and then this mishnah that said that there's no difference between yontif and Shabbos except for ochel nefesh, meaning that for hefset mamon is not a distinction between Shabbos and yontif. So the Gemara says el amar papa lokash, don't worry about it. Habe shamai, habe hillel. One is the shita of beishamai, one is the shita of beishillel. So beishamai is going to be machmer, I guess. Beishamai, who says, he's going to say that any zera that the Chachamim made on Shabbos, they made about yontif, and therefore, so yontif would be forbidden to throw the produce down the skylight. And beishillel, the prior Mishnah, that says you're allowed to throw the produce down the skylight because of hefset mamon, so it'll be according to beishillel. Ditnan, how do we know that beishamai is not Beishamai is not concerned about hefset mamon, Beis Hillel is. Ditznan, this is the Mishnah back on Daf Yud Beis. Beishamai Omrim, Beishamai said, Ein Motziyin, you can't carry out Loes HaKatan, the Loes HaLulav, the Loes HaSefer Torah, Loes HaSarabim. You can't do Hotzah on Yontif, right? Because these Hotzahs, these things, are not Litzorah Chachila. And the only thing that's Mutter on Yontif is a Malacha that's needed for Ochel Nefesh. not in Hefsa and Mamon, nothing else, just Malacha that's even for Hefsa, for Ochal Nefesh. Uveis Hillel Matirin, and Veis Hillel Matir. They say, Mitoksha Hutra Shalol Litzorech, Hutchanami, sorry, Mitoksha Hutra Litzorech, Hutchanami Shalol Litzorech. So even though these Hutzos of taking out the Sefer Torah, the Lulav, is not Litzorech Ochal Nefesh, it still would be Mutter to bring them out. So you see, according to Beis Shammai, Hutzah Shalol Litzorech Ochal Nefesh is Aser. So therefore, they made this gezerah. You can't cut, carry anything. You can't move anything. Shlo tzarech, even the hefzer mamon. So throwing the stuff down as a skylight would be aser. The Gemara says dimalohi. The Gemara says, Rapapa, how do you know that's true? Maybe adkan lo ka'amri Beis Shammai hasam. Maybe over there Beis Shammai said that it's aser to carry these things in the Shus Arabim because they're not tzarech ochal nefesh. Ela a hotza. He's only concerned about hotza, about actually moving it from Shus Yachid to Shus Arabim. Aval tiltul, but what's going on by the produce? It's not hutzah, it's tiltul muksa. Those things are setting up. They're on top of the roof to dry out. They're makatsim in a das, and now the problem there is tiltul muksa. Maybe that's different than lo. Maybe they weren't machmir over there. Maybe they're machmir on the hutzah, and they're not machmir in the muksa. I think Mar says no. Atu tiltul latzur chutzah. The whole gzeira of tiltul is less one comes to hutzah. It's flip sides of the same coin. So if you're going to say Hotsa as Aser, then you're going to say the Tiltul as Aser. Rashi says, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines going to get wide. Atu Tiltul Lab Tzor Chatzahu, Tchilas Hotsa Alei Tiltulhi. The beginning of Hotsa is by being Metaltel. The Kol Masha Gazru Eino Elamishim Hotsa. Muksa is a Gezerah because of Hotsa. V'hai Delo Gazru, so that's why, so if you're going to tell me you're concerned about Hotsa, and you can't do tiltul. Ah, how can you matatul kalim and all these other things? He says, "Ahai, the low gods will tiltul kalim ochlim. If they should low yochlu la'amdo behen levatal onik shabbos and chasanta." Certain things, right? Kalim klishimachul is the heter. Certain kalim are mutter. We don't say that there's muks in them. That's because it was a zera that if you put it in place, people wouldn't be able to survive, I guess. But it's the same. Once you say that you're concerned about hotza, because this is hotza shalot zera chol nefesh, well then tiltul is going to be aser also, because tiltul is what leads to hotza. The whole zero of tiltul is to prevent you from doing hotza. So that I guess we end up saying that's the machlokas between our mishnayos. The mishnah that says mashilin, you can throw the produce down the produce that's getting rained upon through the skylight, that's going to be based hillel. And that mishnah over here that says the only thing that's different between Shabbos and yontif is ochal nefesh, meaning even hotza won't be allowed on yontif except for ochal nefesh purposes. That's going to be according to the shita of Beis Shammai. Certain cases.
What cases?
What? Nolad you can't do. It's Nolad, everyone would say. What? Nolad is Muksa. Nolad is a category of Muksa. It's a stringent category. Even Rav Shimon holds a Nolad. Right? You have to find the cases. That some of them that... according to Beis Hillel, you have a lot of Haterim. About, right? There was a Tosos, we said, we went way back when, that asked a similar question. So, okay, so what's going to be Usher, according to Beis Hillel? I don't remember. I don't know if your system goes into it to remember Tosus, just the Gemara, right?
So,
that's okay. But yeah, no, it's a good question. I think, and I'm pretty sure it's a question that Tosus asks. Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to talk about leaving the Tchum, right? So we know that on Shabbos and Yontif, you're not allowed to leave Tchum Shabbos. I mean, there's, from wherever the end of the city is, till 2,000 amos in each direction, you're not allowed to go beyond that 2,000 amos. And wherever you are, you quote established residency at Ben HaShemashos, that's, you have 2,000 amos from there. So in the city, it's not such a big deal. We establish residency here, so you got to find the outskirts of the city, you have 2,000 amos, and it's more of an issue up in the country. It actually is, I remember when we were younger, we used to actually do that. The guy in the Bala colony, just to teach this, he would make an Eir Tchumim down the road, and we would actually walk. So down the road, we'd have a little party and eat some soda and some quick cake down the road, drink some soda and some cake down the road, and then we would continue walking, which was nice. You got to teach people about it. Now, you can make an Eir Tchumim, which means you could put down at a certain place, you could put down ochel, meals, and that becomes where your kona shvisa. So let's say I'm at upstate, and I want it like we did, so you make the Tchum further, you make your Eir Tchumim further out, and then you have 2,000 amos in each direction from that spot, but you lose it the other way. You get 2,000 amos come from that spot. Okay, so that's just a little chazara. Habehema v'hakelim kiragle habailim. The behema, the animal, and the kelim go in accordance to the owner. Rashi says, Habehema v'hakelim kiragle habailim. Ein adam yochol lochila b'yantiv ela b'makom shabailim yicholim leilech. My fork on Yantiv at Shabbos has the same tchum as me. So if you want to borrow my fork, but you have your tchum is further out, you cannot take it beyond my tchum, even though you're using it now on Yantiv. Right? V'im lo erev, Rashi says, yesh lo afayim l'chol ruach, v'im erev l'tzafon gam hu tel l'tzafon l'dorman. If I make my erev tchumim all the way to the north side, you can, 2,000 amos to the north side, you cannot bring it all to the south side. It goes according to me, if you're borrowing it, if you're borrowing it on Yantiv. Okay. Hamoser behemto livno oleroa. So I hand over my animal to either my son, who Gemara will soon see, my son who is a shepherd, oleroa, or to another shepherd. Hare elu kiragle abaylim. Since I gave it over on Yantiv, since ben shmashos, they were in my domain, so they were kona shvisa where I am. So the roa, or my son, can only take the animal based upon my tchum, not upon their tchum. Now, kalim hamayuchadim le'echa min ha'achim shabat b'bayis. So it seems to hear that you have a bunch of brothers living together in the same house. So one kli is mine, right? We're living in the same house, and so it's kona shvitza. So one kli is specifically mine. Hare elu kiraglav. It goes according to me. So if I made an eirtchum to the north, they can only go to the north, and you guys can't take it anywhere to the south. V'she'em yuchadim, if they're not specific for one brother, Hare elu kimakom shahochim. Then they get the status, sort of the overlap status. Right? Rashi says, Hare elu kimakom shahochim, lemakom shekulim yecholim leilich, motu halich esakelim. It can only go as far into an area where all of them can go. So meaning if someone made an area of 1,000 amos to the north, and someone made an area of 1,000 amos to the south, well then only where they can each go can the kli go. So the kli can only go 1,000 amos this way, 1,000 amos that way. Because if I made 1,000 amos my erev this way, I lost it on that side, and vice versa. So it gets stuck. It can only get the overlap. That's where it can go. Hashoa kli mechaver me erev yantif. Now, if I borrow a kli from my friend on erev yantif, then it's keragle hashoel. Then it goes in accordance to the tchum of the borrower because it was konesh shvisa ben hashmashos in whose possession? In the borrower's possession. So therefore, it gets the status of the borrower, and you can go as far as the borrower can go. But on Yantif, if you borrow it on Yantif, then Kiragli Hamashal. The same thing we said before, it goes according to the lender, because it all depends on who was in possession of it on Ben HaShmashos. That determines where the Tchum is. The Chain, similarly, Ha'isha Sheshola Mechavarta Tavlin, right? She borrows, I guess, on Yantif, spices, to put them into her pot, to put her into her dish. Umayim umelech liislasad. She borrows water or salt for her dough. Hare elu kiragle shtehen. They again only get the overlap. Why do they get the overlap? Because I guess they are now mixed together in something, and this something that's mixed together has stuff that's partially the borrower's and partially the lender's. So therefore, it can only move to where the borrower and the lender can both go, which would only be the overlap. Make the diagram, only the places where they overlap would it be able to go. But Rabbi Yehuda poached b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, water, don't worry. If you're just borrowing water, right? If I borrow water and I put them into the dish, the water does not prevent me from going as far as my tchum. Water is not going to maintain the status of your tchum because if they should aim behind mamish, because water doesn't, you don't see it. You don't see the spices either so much. I guess they're really, really big spices that you can see them in the dish. But I guess something that's not evident that it's in the dish, Rabbi Yehuda says, that doesn't maintain the status of the original owner. It loses, I guess, its chashivas, and therefore its batal, and you can take the dish to as far as the person who's cooking, as far as they can go. It's hard for us to figure it out because we're all in the same tchum. We don't make eir tchum on this side and that side. But in those days, I guess they did. You would make eir tchum on opposite sides, and only the overlap would be permitted to bring these items. Okay. So Gemara then says, Masnisin, our Mishnah, delo kirabidosa. Our Mishnah does not follow the Shita of Rabidosa. Why? Delo kirabidosa. Right, our Mishnah said that they're focusing on the part of the Mishnah that said, if I give the behema to a roe on Yontif, so then it maintains the status of the owner, not of the shepherd. So So Gemara says that's not in accordance with Shita Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Dosa. The Tanya, as we have a Brisa that said, Rabbi Dosa Omer, Rabbi Dosa said, V'armi la'avishol Omer, and some say it's Avishol, okay? Halokeach behema mechaveiro me'erev yantiv. Someone who buys the animal, I buy an animal from you in Erev Yantiv. Apal pishlo mesara lo elev yantiv, even though you only handed over the reins to me on Yantiv. Harei hiki ragli elokeach. Since I own it already on Erev Yantiv, it gets my status. It can go as far as I can go. Similarly, v'hamoser behema l'roeh, and if I give over the behema to the shepherd to deal with it on Yantiv, apal pishlo mesara elev yantiv, even though I only gave it to him on Yantiv, harei hiki ragli haroeh. That goes according to the status of the shepherd. Rabbi Dosa says, if you give it over to the shepherd, it goes gets the status of the shepherd, even on Yantiv. Smack against our Mishnah, which said that it can be taken as long as wherever it was Benish Mashos, which is by the owner, that's the tchum status that it has. The Gemara says, no, afilu tema Rabbi Dosa, even you can say according to that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa is talking about a different case. You have to distinguish between a case where there is only one shepherd in town. There's only one shepherd in town, and everybody knows that he's going to be giving it tomorrow to that shepherd to take care of his sheep. So therefore, he has in mind that it's going to be in the hands of the shepherd. But if there are more than one shepherd in town, well, maybe I'll give it to this one, maybe I'll give it to that one. So Gemara says, "Afilotim Rabidos Lokasha Kan Bero Echad Kan Bishnei Roim." It depends on how many roim you have. Look at Rashi, the top line: Kan Bero Echad She'ein Beir El Ro Echad. Kol b'nei ir ma'amidim behemtam b'rishuso v'niknei shvisaso. Everyone gives it to him. So they're going to be calling their shvisa, their tchum status, based on him. Hilkach, bein mocher, bein lokeach, daito shul tignat behema shvisa etzlo, el b'shvisa saroe. So in your mind, you already know I want to be kone shvisa with the roe. B'mas nisin b'shnei roim. Our Mishnah is talking about two roim. D'lo yadin l'haiminayo habile das bailim. I don't know which one the owner is going to be giving his sheep to tomorrow. Hilkach harei karagli b'aylim im enam etzel aroim be'odyom. Therefore, it gets the status of the owner. And I have the only place I know where it is in the owner's house. I have no idea which shepherd it's going to. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, you can be medayik that rule from our Mishnah as well. Dekatani, our Mishnah says that, and our Mishnah, which is one that said that the sheep is konish visa a betish muscles of the owner. Dekatani, because the Mishnah said, live no oleroeh. Either to his son or to the roa, which means there's two possibilities where you can give the sheep to. That's why I said before, the son must also be a shepherd. There's two possibilities of where you can give the sheep, to shepherd A, to shepherd B. In that case, then it's kone shvisa erben ashmashos by the owner. When there's only one shepherd, it would be kone shvisa only by, it could be kone shvisa by that shepherd, because you have in mind your intent, even before Yantip, is to give it to that roa. And Amar Rababar Chana, Amar Yochanan, Halacha ki Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yochanan says, the halacha follows Rabbi Yosi, that you can give the behema to the roa on Yantif, and it gets the tchum status of the roa. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Rabbi Yochanan really say that the halacha is like Rabbi Dosa, but I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say halacha kestam mishnah? The halacha, Rabbi Yochanan always says, you follow an anonymous mishnah, and our anonymous mishnah said, ha behema ba kelim karag le'abaylim. The behema and the kelim go according to the owner. I don't understand the question. The answer is pashut. The Gemara says, what's the problem? We just established the distinction between two shepherds and one shepherd. And that's what Gemara says. V'labu kimna kandero echad kandero shnei roim. We just established. Our Mishnah is talking about with a shnei roim. In that case, kone shvisa according to the owner. Rabbi Dosa is talking about a case where there's only one roa. In that case, it's kone shvisa according to the roa. So I don't understand what the havmi of the question was.
Because
Stamish
is usually more than one
Tana? Stamish means that the rule is stated anonymously.
Right. So why do we follow that?
It's a different thing. But Rabbi Yochanan holds it, that when Rabbi made the Stam Mishnah, he made it, since he's not presenting a dispute in the Mishnah, that has to be the halacha. Right? But then he runs into trouble throughout Shas, because there are oftentimes Stam Mishnahis that seem to contradict each other. They always ask that question on Rabbi Yochanan. How can Rabbi Yochanan say this? Isn't there a Stam Mishnah? Oh, there's another Stam Mishnah. You don't get this Stam Mishnah. What if there's a Stam Mishnah one way in one Masechta, and a Stam Mishnah another way in a different Masechta? What if there's a Stam Mishnah in one Masechta, and a Stam Mishnah later in the Masechta? So you have these different rules that come into play. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to talk about we're talking about where something is Kone Shvisa. It's to 45, right? 45, okay. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a brisa, Shnayim Shesha'alu Choluk Echad B'Shutafus. Two people go ahead and they borrow a cloak on Yontif. Right? They want, Rashi says, Shnayim Shisholu Cholok Mibod Yom, Liyos Rishush Nehem. They're both partners now in borrowing this cloak. Zeh Leilech Bo Shachris, the base medrash. This one, Reuven's going to use the cloak to walk to the south, to the base medrash in the morning. Bezeh, and the second one, Likanes Bo Arvis, the base HaMishnah. The second one's going to go in the afternoon to the party house. He's going to go to the base HaMishnah. So, and Zeh Erev Alav Letzafon. So Reuven made the Erev Tchumim in the north. Bezeh Erev Alav Ledarom. And Shimon made his Erev in the south. Right? So Zeh She'erev Alav Letzafon, Mahalech Letzafon, Karagli Misha Erev Alav Ledarom. Bezeh She'erev Alav Ledarom, Mahalech Ledarom, Karagli Zeh She'erev Alav Letzafon. So you have a problem. They're pulling, they're trying to stretch the Erev, but they're each stretching the Erev the other way.
Why does that think this funny case enough to say two partners?
Because
two people. Borrow.
I hear.
A more standard case would be two people.
People who own an item, and he wants to use this one. I hear. That always bothers you about the Gemara when the Gemara sets up certain cases. I don't know. I mean, that was the case that came before them. They're dealing with practical cases that came when it came up. And that's the case that came up. Somebody borrowed. They borrowed it. Right, if they're partners in the beginning. It'd be the same halacha, I guess. So this one in the north from the south. So the problem is now, the guy who's going to the base measures to the north, can only go to the north as far as the person who made the Erev to the south. Meaning, if the person made the Erev to the south 1,000 amos the other way, so he can only go to the north 1,000 amos. And the guy's going to the north, he can only make 1,000 amos. And the guy who made the Erev in the north 1,000 amos out of the city, he prevents the guy from the south going 2,000 amos to the south. He can only go as far. I mean, they pull each other. They pull each other in because of the Erev that they made, right? The in mitzvah satchum. So if that's the case, if they each made the Erev at the 2,000 amos location, from this guy made it 2,000 amos to the north. This guy made it 2,000 amos to the south. They can't go anywhere. They're stuck because if I make my Erev 2,000 amos to the north, I can't move at all to the south. So now you can't go anywhere. And the same the other way. If you made your Erev 2,000 amos to the south, you can't. That person can't go anywhere to the north. So now I also can't go to the north. I mean, we prevent each other from moving. That would be a shame because they just borrow the cloak and then they can't really use it for the purpose that they intended. Okay. Right. Maybe. Okay. Could be. Itmar. Okay. So now we have the following case. And this is what you do. Shnayim shelaku chavis ubehema b'shutafas. Two people own, even from before Yontif, they own a barrel of liquids, a barrel of drinks, or they own an animal, b'shutafas. They're partners in this animal. And they bought it for the purpose of splitting it on Yontif. I'm going to drink half the barrel, and you're going to drink half the barrel. Or we're going to shecht to behema, and I'm going to take the right leg, and you'll take the left leg. We're going to split it. So Rav Amar. So now the question is: how far can you bring the items? Meaning if you hold ain't basically machlokes about breira, can you retroactively determine which piece was mine before yontif? If we do hold the breira, then whatever part of the barrel became mine on yontif, that was the part of my barrel even before yontif. I can take it my whole tchum. And say so too can you. But if you don't hold Breira, so that means we're determining it right now. So if Ben Ashmashos, my thing was all mixed together with your thing, you wouldn't be able to go your full tchum. You can only go the tchum that overlaps. So that's Itmar. Shnayim shalaku chavis ubehem b'shutafas. Rav Amar chavis muteres. Rav says the barrel, each one can take it as far as their tchum can go, even if the other partner made an Erev the other way, ubehema asura, but the behema can only go to the place where both of them can go. Shmuel Amar chavis nami asura. Shmuel says no, even the barrel can't go. It's locked in only to go to where the overlap. So the Gemara says, my kasava Rav. Well, then what is Rav Svara? Right? Is kasava yesh breira. If he holds a breira, that there's this retroactive determination, so that why would it make a difference between the chavis and the behema? Right? Is kasava yesh breira. Afilu behema Tishteri. The behemoth shall also be mutter to travel as far, because that leg retroactively was determined that it was mine at Ben HaShemashos, so therefore it should get my tchum. If the barrel, we retroactively determine which portion is mine, the behemoth we should as well. The ikas summer ain brera, and if you hold that there is no brera, then afilu chavitz nami asura, so then the chavitz also should be asur. What's the difference? So clearly he must hold brera, because if he doesn't hold brera, then how do you move the barrel? And he must hold brera, and then have some issue with the behemoth. So he says, "Lo olam kesaver yesh brera." He goes, "Ein akanami." He holds that there is brera. So if there is brera, the question then is, why is it that I may not take my portion of the behema as far as my tchum? Why am I limited by your tchum? He says, "Vishanya behema dekayanki tchumim mehadodi," because it gets nourishment from each other. Rashi says, actually, it's like the last short line. La'olam kasavar yesh brera, hilka chavis muteres. V'shani behema, the animal is different, shahaisa b'chayim ben ha-shmashos. It was alive at twilight, at ben ha-shmashos. The kol ivareha b'chayeha yonkim zemizeh. And all the limbs get nourishment from each other, from the other limbs. U'mishe cheshcha, and when it got dark, yonik kol ivareha b'shal chavero, v'ein kan livor. He seems to say that since they're getting nourishment, you can't retroactively separate them. Because if you retroactively separated them from Ben HaShemashos, it's just physically impossible. It's just because then it would be dead. But it's alive. So therefore, it can't be separated. Theoretically, it can't be separated, or luckily, it can't be separated, because it's just physically impossible. You cannot separate something. They're getting nourishment from each other. So normally I would hold Brera. In this instance, since it's physically impossible to have Brera, I don't hold a Brera. And therefore, the animal would then get stuck in accordance to both of their tchum. It's a little esoteric, I guess. Right? That the behemoth has this, their yonik from each other, and therefore it gets limited. So Amrali Rav Kahana and Rav Asi Larav. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi said to Rav, the Isr Muksa lo Khashishu, the Isr Tchumim Khashishu. He goes, wait a second. Rashi says, the Isr Muksa lo Khashishu. Anat Sahadi, the Kol Chad Minayu Ikse Daito Mechokos Shehavero. We assume that I can have a partner with you. I know that your portion is not my portion. And you know that my portion is not your portion. So therefore, in Erev Shabbos, my portion is Muksa to you, and your portion is Muksa to me. And then come Shabbos and Yontif, I can shecht it, and I can take my portion. And we're not concerned about Muksa. Why would we be concerned about Muksa? If this whole thing is that they're yonik from each other, so it's all mixed together. So the mixed together, mixed in my portion, is your portion, which is Muksa. We're not choshesh for that, so why should we be choshesh for this idea that the tchumim? You're saying it's all mixed together, and therefore I should be choshesh. It's mixed together, and therefore I can't do Brera. So if it's all mixed together, it should be Muksa as well. Because my portion is mixed with your portion, and as Rashi says, Anan Sa'adi, we assume that your portion is set aside from my mind. So it's a muksa issue. Obviously not, because we allow you to touch, we allow you to take the animal, shecht it, and take your portion. So we're not concerned about muksa, we should be concerned about this mixture for tchumim as well, and shasik rav. And Rav was quiet, he said, that's a good kasha, and maybe he was closer, and maybe he said, we hold brera, and if we hold brera, the brera will apply both to the chavis and to the behema. So the Gemara asks, "My havela." So what was the hachra? What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, "Rav Hoshia Amar Yesh Brera." Rav Hoshia says, "We hold that there is brera, and therefore each one of us can take our portion of the barrel or our portion of the animal to any place where we're permitted to go. It goes according to our tchum, and I'm not held back by your tchum." Rav Yochanan Amar Ein Brera. Rav Yochanan, I guess, passes like Shmuel, and says, no, there's no brera. We can't make this retroactive determination, and therefore, whatever portion I get is held back by your tchum as well. So Gemara says, "V'savar Rav Hoshia yesh brera." Rav Hoshia holds that there is brera. We're going to bring a proof where Rav Hoshia seems to indicate not brera. And here he's saying, yes, brera. "V'savar Rav Hoshia yesh brera." V'atnan, we have a Mishnah in Olos. My Mishnah Olos is dealing with Tumas HaMes. So if the mace is in this OL, and there's a mace in the, someone suddenly dies, and this house has tons of openings to get out, doorways to get out. And within those doorways, under the door frames, are kalim. You don't know which way we're going to bring the mace out, so we assume the mace can go out into any doorway, so all those kalim under each doorway are going to have tumah. Right, so that's the case. So there's a mace in the house. And the house has lots of openings, a lot of doorways or entranceways. Kulon tameim. Everything under each entranceway is going to be halakamosh mesinai. They're all going to be considered tamei because at the time it died, it's soaked to malotzes. It's eventually going to go out. We can say it can go out to any of them. They all become tamei. But if at the time of death, all the openings were locked, the niftach echad mehen, but only one of them is open. Who tamei the kulon tahorim? So then only the kalim under that entranceway are tamei, and the kalim under the other entranceways are considered tahor. The Mishnah continued. Now, if they're completely sealed, there are no doorways that are open, and chishev lahotzi be'echamayhen, and the person Chaver Kadisha had in mind, we're going to bring him out the door, you know, what's behind door number two. We're going to bring him out from door number two. So then, b'chalon sheyish bo arba ba'alaba. All we have in mind, take him out of a window that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which therefore it has the size that's considered roi to be an opening. Then matzelas es hapsachim kulan. So that saves all the other the opening. So everything, every other opening would be considered tahor. Beishamei omrim, beishamei say, but that's vihu shechishiv alav ad shlo yomos hames. That's only if you had this intent. I guess he's dying, because when he dies, we'll take him out behind door number two. But if you had this makshava after he dies, that makshava is not going to save all the other openings. Ubeishil omrim, af mishe yomos hames. Even if you have this makshava, all these doorways are closed, even if you have this makshava after he dies, when you take him out, we are saying, retroactively, Breira, that this is the place where you intend to take him out. The Itmar law, because the Amar of Osha, our of Osha says, when Beis Hillel said that if you think of this doorway, even after it dies, that's letaras hapsachim mikan la'aba. That only has prospective impact. Mikan la'aba in limafrei lo. It doesn't have retroactive effect. So therefore you see Rav Oshia holds in Breira. Okay, so Gemara's going to stop here. But it seems to hear that Rav Oshia, sorry to get too far. Rav Oshia says, seems to indicate that there's no Breira here. In our case, Rav Oshia said he's passing that Yesh Breira. Then we're going to answer the question. We're going to try to flip the Shitos. And then we say, how can Rav Yochum say that? And then we're going to give an answer for Rav Oshia at the end. Okay, have a good day. Have a good Chodesh.